Welcome to the February 2nd sermon from Clifford Baptist Church, 635 Fletcher's Lovell Road in Amherst. Today's scripture is Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 15, and the sermon is entitled, Serve Through Pain, delivered today by Pastor Jeffrey Campbell.
I'm going to ask you to turn to Genesis chapter number 45. Genesis chapter number 45. A couple of months ago, as I sat at my desk thinking through what a series on serving would look like, I threw some ideas on the paper and I began to pray, okay, God, you've got to lead this discussion. You've got to lead me in leading the people through your word, and you've got to lead me in coming up with this series. And as I worked through that over the next couple of weeks, I came to the point where I circled this sermon. Out of all the ones that you have heard before and the one that will follow next week, I believe that if we get this right, this sermon could change our lives. I believe this sermon could change our church. I believe it could really and truly make Clifford Baptist Church, more importantly, Jesus through the church, a light to our community. I'm going to ask you to think of the most painful thing that you've had to endure. Some of you may have to go back a little time. Some of you may can just think back within the last week, something that has really hurt you. I stand before you knowing with the warning, when you get into ministry and particularly pastoral ministry, you better have skin like an alligator. This position, and I'm going to warn you, ministry is not for the faint of heart. And I am one who wears my feelings on my sleeve. And so I want you to know today that I preach this message knowing that through forgiveness, God can truly change your heart. I grew up, like many of you have experienced, a family torn by an issue of divorce. And understanding God's hand along the way, especially in my teenage years, they were hard years. And I stand before some young people today all around us and tell you, those teenage years are formative years. Those were the years that I didn't really always have a physical father to run to, and so I turned to God. And that's the only reason I stand where I do today. Praise be to God. But many of us deal with issues. Many of families deal with hurt and hatred and scorn that you will carry to your grave if you do not give it to God. So today, how do you serve through pain? Your pain is different than my pain. It looks different. It has come across your life different, but here's the reality. We all experience pain in some form or some fashion. And we expect God Almighty to forgive us when we bring Him pain, when we hurt Him, and yet we are all called to do and to forgive just as God has forgiven us. And so, back to that question, what has been the most painful thing that you have ever experienced? Some of that for you today could be physical pain that is excruciating so much that you deal with it every single day of your life. Some of it is mental or emotional pain that is remembered every single day of your life. Some good and godly people have been inhibited because of their inability to forgive someone for something they have done. Unforgiveness extends and affects multiple levels. Friendships, families, workplaces, relationships with God, and even in our church. Now let me tell you this. When I preach the truth from God's word, I'm not saying or I'm not preaching to a particular issue in our church. But we are just human beings. Every single one of us. And when you bring that baggage, it has no option to follow you other than the place of God. And so today, I don't have any motive. I don't have anything on my mind. When I circled this, I said this could be life-changing. I'm grateful that in an Old Testament story, we can learn what forgiveness looks like. We can understand what pain feels like. And we can also understand the blessing of what forgiveness and being forgiven looks like when you have to serve someone that has hurt you so bad. We are introduced in the book of Genesis to a man by the name of Joseph. Joseph is an Old Testament picture of Jesus Christ, in my opinion. The 11th son of Jacob, the first son of Jacob's fourth wife, Rachel, and it was a love that Jacob had for his son. Now listen, I know all of us love our kids, but Jacob had a special love for this son named Joseph. And that love that the other brothers recognized caused hatred in their heart for their brother. So much so that along with that love and Joseph's dreams and visions that God had given him for his family, it caused so much contention in this family of 12 boys that the others sought to kill him. That was the hatred that was pinned up in their heart. But throughout that talking through for the brothers, they threw him in a pit and decided that they would sell him to whoever came by and needed a hired hand. You can read about that in earlier chapters of Genesis. But as those brothers sell off Joseph, they think our problem is gone. 20 pieces of silver is all it took to buy him. And they sold off their brother, and they, as far as the brothers knew, they were done with this man, this young boy that stole their father's love and attention and caused so much hatred and jealousy in their family. But God would take this man and not only save him from a pit and save him from his family, but make him servant in Potiphar's house. He would be accused of rape. He would be thrown in prison. He would interpret dreams in prison. He would become the king's cupbearer, and he would end up the number two man in all of Egypt. And very quickly, that's where we pick up scripture today. I felt like you needed to know all that. Joseph has baggage. He carries hurt and he carries pain. He carries his own thoughts, and we find him as the number two man in Egypt. Now, here's what is not realized until we read the story, is the family that he left, that he was sold out of in Canaan, now finds himself needing food. And what place do they go? They have to go to Egypt to get it. And that brings a reunion of sorts in which we will read at about today. So take your Bibles. Genesis chapter 45, verses 1 through 4. God's word reads like this. Then Joseph could not refrain himself before all them that stood by him. And he cried, "Cause every man to go out from me, and there stood no man with him, while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians and the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom you sold into Egypt. Point number one in serving through pain today is that those that are offended need to forgive others. How long is too long? How long is too long to hold a grudge or to be affected? 22 years is what we're looking at here. 22 years since Joseph has seen his brothers, heard from his brothers, heard anything from his family, and now they walk into his presence. As they have been separated into slavery, they wanted to kill him. Their father, thinking that he is dead, because not only did they throw him in the pit, the brothers dipped his coat of many colors into blood and showed their father he must have died. So there's a father at home thinking, my little boy, my next to youngest boy is dead. Some wild animal has gotten him and killed him. And that's what Jacob is holding on to. And so as these brothers walk into the presence of Joseph, all of this is built up inside of him. His family stands before him and others around it. And Joseph just can't hold it in any longer. He knows them. He's helped them. He's challenged them. He has proven them over the chapters of 42 through 45. And now all comes, and here's how it comes out. Tears. I don't know about you. I'm a crier. When you get me worked up enough, you will see tears. And that's what we see here. The only thing that he can do, as these men who have betrayed him and hurt him and lied about him and put him through so much agony, are the tears that come from his eyes. His weeping, the Bible tells us, is loud enough that those around him hear it. So it's not just a cry and a wipe. It's a loud, emotion-filled weeping. When we talk about forgiving others, here's what Joseph does. He bears the truth. He bears the truth. Write that down if you're taking notes, because I think that's important. As the tears show a deeper pain he has carried for so long, there's so much taken away, so much rooted here, so much deception in his life. These men stand before him and he says simply this, I am Joseph. That's all that needed to be said. With those words, it would tell the brothers exactly what they needed to know. They had written him off as dead, as gone, as not having to worry about him again. So with those few words, I am Joseph, he reunites or reignites in these brothers, oh my goodness. Sometimes it's hard to tell the truth. Sometimes it's hard to look somebody in the face and say, you've hurt me. You've lied about me. You have hurt my family. You have caused me trouble and turmoil. But in that one statement, I want you to see Joseph tells the truth to these brothers, so much so that they can't even speak a word. The second thing he does, and you need to take note here, is he clears the room. Look in verse number 3. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Does my father yet live? And his brothers could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. I'm grateful that as we look at this room that was full of different people, in verse number 1, we see that he's troubled, he's hurt. But in verse number 1, he says this, cause every man to go out from me. Those that are not kin to me, those that do not have a voice in this situation, get out of the room. Now that's Jeffrey's translation. You'll have to forgive it a little bit. But sometimes we must clear the room. Now listen, there are times as we tell the truth, that's not always going to be pretty. But when we think about clearing the room, he makes sure that the ones that he has issues with are the ones that he is face to face with. listen to me right now. The best way to solve conflict is one-on-one and face-to-face. Don't you dare send a text message. Don't you dare send an email. Don't you dare, because all of those can be misinterpreted however you see fit. If you have problems with someone, you need to address it face-to-face, man-to-man, woman-to-woman, as we see here. Clear the room. There are no extra ears. There are no extra eyes. There are no extra mouths, church, to tell the story. When Joseph clears the room, he means business with everyone in the room that is with him. You need to write down Matthew chapter 18. I think Matthew chapter 18 gives us great wisdom in addressing issues and conflict and how to handle that. And that first step is one-on-one. So not only does he bear the truth, he clears the room. And as he is clearing that room of those extra eyes and ears and mouths, we see that meeting takes place. And the third thing he does in Scripture, and in verse number 4, here's what he says. Joseph said to his brother, "Come near to me, I pray you." Now, you got to put yourself in this situation. Think of yourself as one of the brothers that sold him out, that thinks he's dead, that got rid of him. And now your brother, as the number 2 man in Egypt, says, "Come a little closer." Maybe in the back of their mind, these brothers think, "Oh no, we're going to be killed." And I want to say this for the record. Joseph could have done that. Joseph could have done that. But as he calls them close, in doing so, he has become accessible and approachable to the ones who wanted nothing to do with them. And he asked them one question in these first 4 verses. What was that question? Did you pick up on it? "How's my dad?" Listen, that's what caused the jealousy in the first place. That's what called the hatred in the first place. And after 22 years, he doesn't say, "Hey, brothers, how you been? Kids, family doing fine?" That's not the conversation. He says, "How's daddy? I haven't seen him in 22 years because of you. How's my daddy?" You see, what hasn't changed is Joseph. He still had that special bond with his father. And I tell you, he is an Old Testament picture of Jesus because of this point. As he asks about his father, he is not saying, I'm not neglecting my brothers. But that question, he needs to also settle the truth with his dad. That's why he asks about his dad. Jesus is that New Testament picture we see. And even what I want you to take your minds to right now is those people that crucified or that tried and crucified Jesus, he forgave them from the cross. "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." As we look at this unforgiveness, and maybe today you say, "Well, Pastor Jeffrey, that's not like what I'm dealing with." Here's my word for you: hogwash. There is nothing too bad that you cannot forgive. And the only way that I can say that, because here's what Jesus commands us to do: forgive as we have been forgiven. So if there's something so bad that we can't forgive somebody, there must be something so bad that God would not forgive us. And that is not the truth. There is nothing, no sin so terrible that God will not forgive. There is only one, and that is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. If you say, "God, you are not Savior," you will not be forgiven of that sin. Point number one, people, church, families, friends, we are called to forgive others no matter what. Point number two, look at verse number five. Now therefore, be not grieved, nor angry with yourselves that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. Point number two is the offender. You are the one that has done wrong. Offender, forget your feelings. How many of you beat yourself up because you've done something so bad? Maybe there's somebody in this room today that says, I've done so much wrong, God would never forgive me. That's a lie straight from the pit of hell. But there's sometimes in situations where we know we are wrong, we have done wrong, instead of going and saying, I'm sorry, we carry feelings with us for the rest of our lives. And here's the first thing Joseph says to his brothers. Look in verse number five. He says this, don't be grieved, don't be angry with yourselves that you sold me to come to this point, to come hither. Don't be upset and angry with what you have done. I love Joseph's heart. I don't know that I could do that. When we think of the offender, the one that's causing hurt or trouble, it's one thing to receive forgiveness. It's another thing to continue to beat yourself up over and over and over. And I used to do this as a young Christian, as a young child of God. God, I did this. I'm so sorry. And I would never fully give it to the Lord. Full forgiveness requires full trust in God. And you've got to truly and fully give it all to Him. We cannot beat ourselves up because we have been so bad. Because I want you to know, the studies show this. If you carry it, it will be detrimental to your health. Look at me, church. Look at me. Some of you are going to cause yourself an early grave because you can't forgive. The stress, the hurt, the anger that you hold on to should not be yours as a child of God. Give it to God and let Him carry it to the cross. It has been forgiven. Look at verses 6-9. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years. In thee which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your great lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And He hath made me a father to Pharaoh and a lord of all his house and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Haste you and go up to my father and say unto him, thus saith thy son Joseph, God has made me lord of all of Egypt. Come down unto me and tarry not. Point number three is God is in control. God is in control. Let me ask you a question. Who done this to Joseph? Who caused all this in Joseph's life? It's easy for Joseph to say, hey, it was them brothers of mine. And it was easy for the brothers to say it was us. But here's what Joseph truly says. It was God. God had a plan in this all along. Now look, I'm not trying to cover up your hurt or your pain. But here's what I want you to know. God has a plan through those situations that come into your life. And you may not understand it at the time. But looking back, oh, what a picture God is able to paint. You just need to remain faithful. And so today, we see Joseph looking back over his life. He was thrown in a pit. His life was threatened. He could have been killed many a time. He was accused by Potiphar's wife about unfaithfulness, about rape. And so what do we look in all of this? Joseph had every right to say, God, why did you do this to me? But looking back, here's what he says. God sent me and God was with me. Look real quick if you are following along with me. Look at verse number 5. The end of verse number 5, here's what Joseph said. God did send me before you to preserve life. God had all of this in mind. I'm second in Egypt right now because God had a plan that I could save your life. Look at verse number 7. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity of the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. Verse number 8. It was not you that sent me hither, but God. Verse number 9. We see that God had a plan there as well. It said, God hath made me Lord of all of Egypt. God is in control. When we think about forgiveness, when we think about things that we have experienced, we often focus on those things, those people, those situations, and we remove our eyes from God. And here's where I want to warn you, church. When we think of Joseph's situations, of the lies and the prisons and the accusations, he could have harbored anger against a lot of people, but he had to turn it over to God. And so I ask you this, and I'll be the first one. What are you harboring? What are you holding on to that you just need to give it to God because he is in control and you are trusting him to take care of it? We think of this family, and maybe from the outside looking in, we would say, they all messed up. Well, look, let me tell you something about the Campbell family. We just as messed up too, okay? We are not perfect by any means, and I trust your family is not perfect either. But wouldn't it be amazing that inside our family and inside the church family, if we could look to our brother or sister and instead of offering anger and hatred and judgment in our hearts, we offered grace and mercy that we are gifted every day from our Lord Jesus Christ. But you can only do this when you know God is in control. I love this. I kind of chuckled at it as Joseph is talking to the brothers. He tells them, you have been through 2 years of famine and you got 5 more to go. But think of the 22 years of stuff that he endured to get to where he is. He could only offer forgiveness partly in my mind because he has given this and trusted because he testifies God is in control. Today, if you are holding on to hatred, maybe what you need is a dose and a reminder that God is in control. You don't know the big picture, but God does. There's one more point. Look at verses 10 through 15. And thou shalt dwell in the land of Goshen, and thou shalt be near unto me, thou and thy children and thy children's children and thy flocks and thy herds and all that thou hast. And there will I nourish thee. For yet there are 5 years of famine, lest thou and thy household and all that thou hast come to poverty. And behold, your eyes see in the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that is my mouth that speaketh unto you. And you shall tell my father all my glory in Egypt and of all that you have seen. And you shall haste and bring down my father hither. And he fell upon his brother Benjamin's neck and wept. And Benjamin wept upon his neck. Moreover, he kissed all his brethren and wept upon them. And after that, his brethren talked with him. Point number 4. Serve one another through forgiveness. Serve through forgiveness. I take our minds back to Jesus washing the disciples' feet, and remember, he also washed Judas's feet. Here, as he is talking, just think of the brothers. Now, they're still in shock. They have not said a word. They're taking this all in. And all of a sudden he's talking about dad, and he calls Benjamin my name. In verse number 12, he says, "And behold, your eyes see in the eyes of my brother Benjamin, that is my mouth that speaketh to you." Hey, Benjamin, it's Joseph talking to you. Now, remember, Benjamin is the only blood, same mom and dad, the blood brother that he has. That's why he is the first one that he grabs his neck and kisses and weeps. This is blood brother, and he loves him. But when we talk about serving through forgiveness, he asked to see his father. He asked that to make sure he wasn't dead. And as he wants to see Jacob, he is reminded that that love is stirred again. But verses 10 and 11, he moves them closer to him. This is geographically. He invites them to move closer to him. You bring your families, you bring your animals, you bring everything with you. And here is Joseph's promise. I will take care of all of you. We've got 5 years of famine left. I'm going to take care of you all. You come on, move your families closer. It will make it easier for me to do that. I will take care of you. And then in verse number 14, as he comes to that blood brother of Benjamin, he begins with him kissing, hugging, and weeping. Yeah, you sit here and say, guys, don't do that. Men don't do that. Well, these brothers, this was very special. And so what we see as he begins with Benjamin, he does not stop with Benjamin. Take note of that. He could have said, hey, that's my only blood brother. That's the only one I love. No, he went brother by brother, one by one, weeping and talking and asking forgiveness and praying with them. And I'm grateful for that picture in which we have today. As they are going through these situations, brother by brother, it's a great sign of what this family has been through and what this family will go through in the future. What fears do you have? What fears are associated with forgiveness? As I close this sermon today, I think one of the reasons that we don't say, I'm sorry, I messed up, is because we're scared of what that will look like. And as Nathan told me today, here's my advice to you. Just send it. Just do it. You got to do it and trust God with the process. If you sit there thinking, I don't have the right words, or I got to have the right timing, this person, you'll never ask for forgiveness. You'll never get there. And so today, when we think of this serving through forgiveness, I want you to see a man that he could have harbored hatred in his heart, but here's what he does to his family. Y'all come near me. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to make sure that you make it through this famine. You gave up on me, but I'm not giving up on you. And I'm going to see you through it. And the only way that can happen is through forgiveness. Take your Bibles and go back to Genesis chapter 37 real quick. I want to show you one thing. Genesis 37, look at verse 27 and 28. These are the brothers concocting a plan to see what they will do with Joseph. And in verse number 27, it says this, "Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh, and his brethren were content." Do you see that? Everybody agree to that. Let's sell him off. And in verse number 28, "There passed by Midianite merchantmen, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, and they sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they bought Joseph into Egypt." As Joseph is hugging and kissing the neck of his brothers, I'm going to reach a little bit, but please stay with me. I don't think I'm reaching out of Scripture. The last words in Joseph's mind were probably 20 pieces of silver, and that's the last he heard from his family. They threw him on the caravan and to Egypt they went. 20 pieces of silver. The brothers got rid of their problem. Let me ask you this. What's your problem? What's your issue? What are you trying to deal with that only forgiveness can fix? No amount of money can fix it. Nothing that you have thrown out, nothing that you can try, nothing outside of forgiving will fix it. Today, church, are you willing to do that? I want to remind you that those 20 pieces of silver Joseph was sold gives a great picture of Jesus, who was sold for 30 pieces of silver. He was sold out as well. Where does forgiveness start? It does not start waiting for somebody else to make the move. You make the move. You are the Christian. You are the believer. Make the move. Don't wait on somebody else. And so, church, today, I'm not going to ask you to do this. Here's just what I want you to mentally process with me. If one of us, any one of us, could stand today and say, somebody has hurt me so bad, I cannot pray for them. Every time I think about them, there's bad thoughts, and I just wish them misery. You are holding things that need to be forgiven. If you cannot look at that person who has done you wrong and pray and wish joyful things in their life to come, you are holding on to things that need to be forgiven. And so today, why don't we let God take control of that? And that starts maybe where you are. I don't want to put anybody on the spot, and I'm going to be the first at this altar today. We've all been hurt. We all carry pain. We all can forgive through Jesus Christ and Him alone. Today, if that is something you need to take care of, do me a favor. Take care of it before you leave this building. If that requires you coming and kneeling at an altar, if that requires you going to somebody in this room, if that requires you leaving this room when I pray and you pick up the phone and call somebody, please don't do it that way. Go to them and say, I need to talk to you. This Old Testament story holds so much truth and so much blessing to who we can be through Jesus Christ. One more thing. As Joseph calls his brothers to come near me, and he makes this statement in verse number 7. He makes this statement that reads like this. God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. That speaks Jesus. Today, if you are here and you're carrying the weight of sin before a holy God, here's what I want to tell you. The greatest move of forgiveness is a turn from sin and a turn by faith to Jesus Christ as Savior. And Jesus will change your life. You don't have to wait for that. That can happen today. Today, Jesus simply says this, just as Joseph did, come near me and here's what I can do. I can save your life by a great deliverance. Jesus has paid the price. He has paid your debt. He has given your life through grace and mercy, and He will save you today if you will come to Him. Today, that is your invitation to come to Jesus. Christian brother, sister, maybe you want to meet me before God and simply pray for words or steps, for the strength to take that step to ask for forgiveness. Whatever the need, I believe God can meet us here today. Let's pray together. Father God, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your holy word. And Lord, I just thank you, Lord, that as we come before you today, Lord, we seek total forgiveness. It has two sides. So God, I pray, Lord, for those that have been offended, Lord, that you will allow grace and mercy to be poured upon their heart as a reminder of how often and how much you forgive us. Lord, that we can then forgive those who have hurt us. Lord, there have been people that are hurt and that are carrying that hurt in this room today. God, I pray, Lord, that they will just be able to surrender that to your control and to your leading. And God, I just pray that your word and your truth transform lives today. God, thank you that I believe that you can meet us here. And for that one that needs you, my prayer is that they come near to you today. They realize that you are the only one they need. The only one that can save them and forgive them and love them for all eternity. God, I pray, Lord, that you will lead that one to turn from their sin and turn to you. God, thank you for this day. We give it to you now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Clifford Baptist Church invites you to join us for worship every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. For more information about our church, please call our church office at 434-946-0555.